corporate home this morning, so my sermon notes are in gold. Not yellow, gold. We are what we think. Have you ever done something that maybe a parent or a spouse or a friend ask you, what were you thinking? Has that ever happened in your world? What were you thinking? What was your usual response? I wasn't. Yeah. I don't know. You know, because you may not have been thinking or you may not have been paying attention. Have you ever had a problem with paying attention? I confess. I pay a lot of things, but attention is not in my budget all the time. What kind of thoughts are running through our minds? Just name some thoughts for me. You can participate here. Your girlfriend has a puppy who is very sick, okay? What other thoughts? Yes. Yes. I that's run through our mind. What else? Next week is running through your mind, okay? Yeah, the golden years of your life are tarnishing a little bit when you think. Sir, work runs through our mind. Too much information, okay? We are being bombarded by all kinds of things. Now, what types of, and some of you have touched on this, but what types of emotions run through our minds? Stress, fear, selfishness. What else? Grace, peace, joy, excitement, happiness. All these things run through our minds. Which of these thoughts put down roots? Joy, I hope. Yeah. But sometimes we have emotions and thoughts that take... Behind our house, we have like, it's like a walkway, but it's made out of bricks. Or pavers, I think what you'd hear on HGTV. I know this channel because I live with my wife. But these pavers. Now we have plants that we have planted. Okay? We have flowers. We have, they're flowers. Red ones and pink ones and multicolor ones. I have to water those. I have things growing up between the pavers that have put down roots. I don't have to water them. I'm thinking next year, I'm just putting the flower seeds in the pavers. Sometimes the things that we don't want to take root in our head do anyway. And the stuff that we want to take root, man, it has to be tended. Do you know what they call that? The human condition. They call that fallen humanity. And that's what happens to us. What kind of things are our minds really focused on? To what do we pay attention? Our brains, now some of you may look at your neighbor or your family and you may want to argue with me over this, but our brains are always at work, whether you think about it or not. If your brain wasn't working, you wouldn't be blinking. You wouldn't be breathing either. Your heart wouldn't be beating. And whatever other things you've got going on wouldn't be going on either. Even while we are sleeping, our minds are still engaged. thinking, processing, planning, trying to resolve problems. The neurologists and brain scientists tell us that we have, when we sleep, that our brain starts putting some of our thoughts into certain categories called chunking. It's the only thing I remember out of a class, John Brown University, chunking. And trying to put everything together, and when you have crazy dreams like I've been having lately, it's my brain trying to find a place for some of this information, and I'm telling you, there is no place for some of this information. If you've ever had those kind of crazy dreams, where you can smell blue. I'm not crazy, I'm just telling you. Our mental computers never shut down. Scientists say that thousands of thoughts go through the human mind every day. Don't look at your neighbor and say, I'm thinking maybe hundreds with you. But thousands, I mean just zoom, zoom, zoom. Kind of Marty said, so much information. Because our brains are doing so much thinking, it is important that we evaluate what we are thinking. Sometimes we have to keep the doors closed on our minds. We have to pull down the imagination and everything that exalts itself against God. We have to cage some of those thoughts. Get rid of them. Why is it important that we evaluate our thinking? Because we are what we think. Now, I know we are what we eat. And my favorite saying for that is if you eat fat, greasy food, you'll be a fat, greasy dude. Okay? Some of us are a bag of chips. Some of us are a can of asparagus. Some of us are a birthday cake. And some of us are nuts. But we are what we think. And therefore we must and can control our thinking. Negative thinking will defeat you every time. Fearful thinking will paralyze you. I deal with that. Impure thinking will lead to a destructive life, not only for you, but for those around you. Everything begins with a thought. Have you ever done anything? We had this big discussion way back in college about instincts. People don't have instincts. Animals have instincts. I know you may disagree with me, but I'm telling you, it's not that way. We have something else, and I didn't remember out of that class. Tendencies and all these kinds of things. But everything begins with a thought. Your thought determines your appetite. It determines your attitude, and it determines your action. I don't think we can physically do anything without some kind of thought processes going through our neurons or hormones or whatever. It has to start with a thought. Charles Swindoll, in his book Come Before Winter, said this: thoughts form the thermostat that regulates what we accomplish in life. My body responds and reacts to the input from my mind. If I feed it with doubt, worry, and discouragement, that's precisely the kind of day I will experience. Some life coaches, which is a new term, call it stinking thinking. Thermostat. Do you ever adjust the thermostat at your house? I don't. But I'm accused of it all the time. Why do you think that's funny? Have you lived like that? Yeah. Then he says, did you turn the thermostat down? I don't touch the thermostat unless I'm told to. Okay, I just, you know, I don't worry about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. The problem was I didn't realize that there was an automatic schedule on the thermostat and nobody touched it. For real. It just touches itself and makes its own thing do, you know? But what thermostat controls your environment? Your brain is the thermostat that controls your life. Swindoll goes ahead to say, if I adjust my thermostat forward and thoughts are filled with vision, hope, and victory, I can count on that kind of a day. Now, we talked in the Sunday school class this morning. I know there's some obstacles that come up and some resistance and things like that. But I can pretty much deal with those things if I have the right mind. You and I become what we think about. Our performance is directly related to the thoughts we deposit in our memory bank. And I love this. We can only draw on what we deposit. If you don't put hopeful thoughts, helpful thoughts, holy thoughts, wow, there's a sermon. You can't pull that out and live it. Consider these. We're going to get to Philippians 4 in a minute. Consider these scriptures. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. We are defined by our thoughts. You may not act on your thoughts today, but they shape who you are and who you become tomorrow. Be careful what you grow in your head garden. Jesus said, for out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now understand, first century Palestine, they thought the seat of the emotion and the will and the volition was the heart and the bowels, actually, even kidneys. Because it's like when you get nervous, you get butterflies where? So they kind of, without medical understanding, that's where the seat of your emotion and your volition and your will was. So when Jesus is speaking to these people, now Jesus knew where the brain was, but he's talking to people who didn't understand all of it. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. My southern colloquialism translation of that is this: what's in the well comes up in the bucket. Have you ever been fearful, frustrated, and you covered it hurt, and you covered it up with anger, and you just said some stuff, and then afterwards, in your apology, you said what? I'm sorry, what else? What? I didn't really mean that. I question. Because what's in the well comes up in the bucket. You do not drop a bucket. Now, some of you young people don't understand this. There was a time a long time ago where you did not have a faucet in your house. I'm being silly now. But you dug a well till you hit water, and hopefully you dug a little bit further. And you had a bucket and a chain or a rope, and you dropped the bucket in and you pulled it out. Whatever's in the bucket came from the well. I think what comes out of your mouth is what came from your brain. Have any of you, except Margot, ever gotten mad and just started spouting German? Why can't I just spout German when I'm mad? Because I don't have it in my brain. Do you spout German when you get angry, Margot? No. That's you make up your own. That's my point, which is the next part of this. When you are, who you really are is exposed when you're shaken. That's like my glass, and I say this all the time. This glass has water, I promise. If I shake it, can we expect lemonade to come out? Can we expect coffee to come out? Why do we expect water to come out? I'll get you in just a little bit, Rick. Why do we expect water to come out? Because that's what I put in it. And what you put in your brain is what comes out of your life. Consider this scripture. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. What kind of an invitation is that? What is it an invitation for God to do? Change? Shake you? Oh. Show you what you have and what doesn't need to be there. Do any of you have a junk drawer at home? I'm sorry. How many of you do not know what I'm talking about when I say a junk drawer? Do any of you have a junk room? How about a junk house? A junk garage? Are there any things in your home that you would just as soon some people not see? I mean, I don't really want you getting into my chest of drawers. You know, that's just modesty and personal choices. But is there any room in your house, your life, that you don't want God to see? Well, let me tell you something. He sees it anyway. I don't care how far in the back of the drawer it is. I don't care if it's taped under the drawer. I don't care if you have created a drawer with a false bottom. He sees it. But this scripture is an invitation and an openness in your life for God to look in your heart and in your mind and to shine His light in there. Now, have any of you ever been in a dark, unkept, I'll be very careful, abandoned place, and when you turn the lights on, what did the bugs do? They scurried and ran away. Why? Because when they were exposed to the light, they tried to get out. When you open your heart and your mind to God, He shines His light in there. And the things that you should not be thinking should scurry if you open your heart to Him. Open your heart, open your mind to the Lord, and let Him shine His lights on your thoughts. Here's another scripture. One of my favorites. You will keep him in perfect peace, those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. King James Version says it like this, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Which means when I don't have peace, I need to put my mind on God. And He will keep me in perfect peace. It's a matter of focus that brings inner peace. Consider this scripture. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. That you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The word renew means to renovate, not redecorate. Have any of you ever done a redecoration in your house? My wife does it like all the time. We get new pillows, new dishes, new bedspreads, new everything. I'm thinking, we got all these new dishes. It's the same old food. Don't tell her I said that. You know I'm teasing, but some of you were looking kind of intense at me and I needed to break the tension. New plates, it's the same old food. And you can tell by looking at me that I'm not doing very well on her food. No, I'm doing very well on her food. My goodness. Do you ever watch these? Well, of course you do. These shows on HGTV where they renovate houses and stuff. All that does to me is get a list for me. A list. How many of you guys have a list? Some of you don't because you've already finished your list, right? Not quite hardly, as my grandmother used to say. The renewing of your mind, and really think about this, is not just a redecoration of your mind. It's not just new dishes when you're feeding your mind the same old food. It's not just painting a wall when the wood is rotten. Have you ever had to do a renovation of the outside of your house and you thought, well, the boards on the bottom there are rotting, but I think what I can do is I can just repaint it and it'll be fine. No. No. Just redecorating an already bad mind doesn't fix anything. You need to do a full reno. Or as they say in the auto industry, an off-body reconstruction. Which means you take it down to the frame. There's not enough Bondo. If you don't know what that is, you can ask somebody. There's not enough Bondo to hold a car together when it's got rust everywhere. And there's not enough spiritual Bondo to keep your life on track and where it needs to be if your mind is not right with God. Renewing your mind is changing the way you think and the way you view life. Here's our text. Some of you are thinking, oh my. He usually reads it at the beginning, and then he preaches 30 minutes, so we're in trouble now. You may be. Usually I preach verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 in a 5-week series, but I decided this week we didn't have that, so just 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Paul gives 6 adjectives here of what we ought to plant in our head. True things, noble things, just things, pure things, lovely things, things that make for a good report. Can you tell what that is? A what? We're getting close. Almost. Choo-choo. Yeah. Well, it's not the train, it's the tracks. Do you see how all those tracks come in and they go to something like a central track or something? Our minds have all kinds of tracks. All kinds of information coming into our head. How does a train guy, conductor, engineer, the guy who's in charge of the switches, how does he make sure the right train gets on the main track? Makes a choice and gets the switch right. How do we make sure that the tracks in our brain get the right information and product in them? We too have to make the switch. Let me tell you the story. I'm not saying you should have a one-track mind. But if you do, that one track needs to be God. Needs to be the main track, because these other tracks, they won't get you where you're going. Little Johnny was at school one day, and his teacher asked him. Little Johnny's teacher was a vegetarian. She's also a card-carrying member of PETA. They asked little Johnny, what's your favorite animal? He said, fried chicken. Little Johnny was taken down to the principal's office. Later dismissed. Next day, came back around talking about animals and stuff and said, Johnny, what's your favorite animal? And he said, chicken. Later on in the class, they asked all the kids, who is your favorite famous person? Little Johnny said, Colonel Sanders. What kind of track mind did Johnny have? one-track mind. We have to be careful what track our mind is. Now I'm hungry. Are you hungry? I'll fix that in just a minute. Things that are true, noble, just, good report. True. Paul used some obscure words here that are only used once in the New Testament. One time, and this is it. Some of them aren't used more times. And some of them are old words. Okay? But the word translated true means something that's out in the open. I'm telling you, the devil's things are all in secret. Now, I know they're out in the open. You know what I'm trying to say. They're things that you want to hide. Paul said the things you should think about are things that are okay for everybody to see. Out in the open. Noble. Noble things are things that have been proven. There are some things in life that are not proven. What is the one thing in life that has never failed and that's always been proven? What's His name? Yeah. Yeah. When you're trusting something, when you're thinking something, you want to make sure it's been proven. Also think on things that are just. This is something that's right. And it produces a clear conscience. Don't think on things that are going to defile your conscience. And I could go through a whole list here. But you don't have time and I don't have the wind. Not just evil things that defile your conscience, but also just things like being judgmental, being critical, being fearful, being anxious, and we deal with all these in different ways. But things that are just that give us a clear conscience because they're right. We do what's right because it's right, not because of the consequences it gives us. Things that are pure, clean, and holy. The word translated lovely is the Greek word phileo, which means brotherly love. And it has a prefix on it that says you're leaning toward love. Do you think about things that lean you toward love or things that lean you toward hate? Things that are a good report, something that brings fame or a positive reputation. Paul said, think on this stuff. Don't cloud your mind with the other stuff. Emerson said, beware of what you set your mind on, for that you will surely become. And the more famous one, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an act, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. It all starts with the thought. Jesus said, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your what? Oh, the mind is involved in our love. Absolutely. Our devotion to God is more than just our outward service. You can come into the worship service. You can stand. You can sing. You can bow when prayer is prayed. You can sit there with your eyes open and your ears closed to the Word of God. But you're here. That's not devotion. It's in here. He then concludes this little passage on thinking on these things. If there's any virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, if you want your life and your actions and the product you're putting out there to be praiseworthy, to be virtuous, you got to meditate on this stuff. Meditation is bringing back to mind what you have put in your mind. You can't bring it back to mind if you've never put it in your mind. Who knows what that is? What is it? Scottish Highland cow. What does meditation have to do with a cow? Say again, Arlene. It chews its cud. I told you you were hungry earlier. Fried chicken. I'm about to take that away. A cow has, in my understanding, four stomachs. It eats the grass. It goes into one. It comes back up. He chews it some more. Goes all the way through the four before it fertilizes the new grass. Why does it remunerate? Is that what you call it? Why does it chew its cud? Proper digestion and to get all the nourishments it can. I tell you that the cow, this Scottish Highland cow, meditates on the grass. You and I must meditate on the things that we want to properly digest and to get the nourishment from. And those ought to be the things Paul listed. Guard your thoughts and your life will be protected. Lock your doors sometimes. Plant godly seeds in your mind and your life will produce fruit for Him. Because you are what you think. Let's stand together. Lord, we know that if we want to be who you want us to be, we have to believe what you want us to believe. And we can't believe what you want us to believe without thinking what you want us to think. So, Father, right now, help us to let you shine your light into our mind. Shine the light of your presence into our life. There may be things in there that we need to get rid of. Maybe some thinking that's not bringing any fruit for you. It's just bringing frustration for us and those around us. Lord, there may be fear. There may be anxiety. Help us to remember the things that are proven. You. The things that we can trust. You. Your Word. Lord, for those here today who don't know Christ as their Savior, I pray that through the preaching of the gospel, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the testimony of Christians around them, that they would turn to you today, asking you to forgive them for their sins, come into their heart, make them your child. Father, there may be those here today who need to be baptized, and they get nervous about it, but they know it's what they ought to do. I pray that they would choose to do that today. Maybe join our church. Or maybe just rededicate their life. Whatever it is, Lord, as we sing this song, may we all be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen.